Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
If I hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high, and you hit 'em low.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. It's been a little while since we've talked. Let's blame Andrew. It's Andrew's fault. It has nothing to do with me, probably. But we're back, and Andrew, what is it, 10 days since we recorded? We are 3-0. Get this season right back on track. How excited are you for this KU basketball season right now?
Kevin, I am very excited. I just want to dedicate this podcast to all the doubters, to all the haters, to all the people who said, this team isn't very fun. This is my least favorite team of all the Bill Self teams. I can't get into this team. This is dedicated to all of those people.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, you know, it's been a pretty crazy 10 days since we last podcast. But, I mean, this team has really turned it around. This team is playing like this one seed they supposedly are from the NCAA mock selection committee and Joe Lunardi and Jerry Palm. No one really believed that, but you can kind of start to maybe believe it now. I don't know if they really are, but this team's pretty good, Kevin. This team's pretty good.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I definitely want to talk about some March Madness seeding because this will be the first podcast we've mentioned it in 2018, Andrew, and we're not that far away. We're like, what is it, 2.5 weeks from Selection Sunday?
Is it that close?
Yeah, it's like
No,
you know, it's three weeks away, right?
Well, we've got 2 weekends of basketball left, plus the Big 12 tournament, so we're getting close.
Yeah, whatever. It's that far away, but it's close. It's definitely within the month. So we've got a lot to talk about there. We're going to do a quick recap, not going crazy about the games that we've not talked to you about, but we'll do a couple quick hitters there. And then, we're going to talk about this Texas Tech game coming up this weekend. We're going to devote some time to that because that is obviously an enormous game, probably the biggest game of the year, obviously, at this point. And then we're going to talk some Big 12 as well. And, Andrew, you don't know this, but I asked for some Twitter questions for the podcast. Oh.
Sometimes that always goes well.
Sometimes that goes awful. And this time is more or less one of those times. But I actually got a few good ones. So I threw them into the podcast. We're going to talk about them a little bit.
For those at home, this is when you want to have the people do the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what to talk about. You just say, anytime you see like someone do a mailbag, this is like, do my work for me.
I'm not a big fan of podcasts doing the Ask Me Anything, too, because that's really just wanting to talk about themselves.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no one does an Ask Me Anything, or no one can't. Like, if you and I didn't ask me anything, like, those questions would be awful.
What would they even know to ask us?
I don't know.
Like, what do you think about Silvio D'Souza? Like, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it.
Right. I mean, but I'm talking about when you do the AMAs, and you're like a podcast that talks about, I don't know, basketball or fantasy football or whatever. Those AMAs, like, you're asking people to ask about you, and I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk
strong
about
take,
basketball.
Kevin. Strong
Is that
take.
A strong take?
You're coming out of your blazing.
Speaking of blazing, Andrew, KU blazed OU in that last game, didn't they? Right?
They blazed OU. I was there. So I didn't go to the West Virginia game, but I could tell on TV and I could tell from what my brother was saying, that the atmosphere was pretty intense, was pretty crazy. And then I was like, man, I wish I would have gone to that one instead of the OU game. OU game was a different kind of crazy because, you know, we were up basically 9 points the whole game until the last maybe 12 minutes or so when we really started to put them away. And then it just became a party.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, you know, we're killing these guys. We're making everything because OU doesn't play defense. So I will say, maybe it was the last episode or 2 episodes ago, we had a discussion about what Allen Fieldhouse could do to really put this team over the edge. So do you remember this discussion we had?
Very much do, yes.
I think that everyone listened because Allen Fieldhouse, these past 2 games, especially on Monday with personal experience, was insane, was at peak Allen Fieldhouse. Been to games for years, been to dozens, if not hundreds of games. This is probably into the triple digits. Probably one of the best atmospheres just because of what was at stake and end of the season. A lot of seniors on the team playing against a guy who's going to be a top five draft pick. All the ingredients were there on Monday night for some pretty special. And it was a party, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree with you. You could absolutely tell through the TV. I didn't go to either of those games, but man, you could absolutely tell it was going bonkers in there. And then I meant to go to that Iowa State game. We haven't talked about that one. We'll talk just super briefly about it. That was the game, Andrew, that Vic made the comeback to the starting lineup, I believe.
And which is when everything turned back around.
Yeah, and I think I tweeted out something like, you know, now is the time. So we just lost that Baylor game, and you started looking at the team, and you start going, okay, where is this? We are not that far away from Selection Sunday. What is this team going to look like? What is its ceiling going to be? Because you can't make examples anymore. Like, Bill Self, I think he's pushed all the right buttons, obviously, because now you're starting to see the fruits of the labor pay off. But you needed to see Vic play well for us to get our ceiling. You need to see Malik Newman start and play well for us to get our ceiling. It was not going to be, I love him to death, but it was not going to be Mitch starting the game and playing significant minutes that was going to get us to our ceiling. It just wasn't. And so I loved that he finally put them back. Vic responded, had a great game, scored 16 points. Graham at that time had still kind of continued his off shooting night. I think he was like 3 for 16 from the field, but Doak has a good game, makes 9 baskets in 22 minutes, which is about right. And we get out of Hilton with a win. So that was a good game. And do you remember anything about that? Were you watching it with your wife? How'd that go?
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Your wife is an Iowa State grad.
She is an Iowa State grad. She's kind of resigned herself to this season.
Good.
And I have to kind of remind her occasionally, like, you do have a pretty good team. The record's not showing it. But if Mo Bamba goes pro and Trae Young goes pro, I think 2 of the top 4 returning scorers are going to be on Iowa State. All 4 will be from Iowa State and K-State. Be Barry Brown, Dean Wade, Cameron Laird, and Wigington. So, they've got some guys coming back. So I had to remind you, like, you know what? It's a pretty good team. It's not working out.
Right.
So expect to see this team show some mettle next year. And maybe even to the Big 12 tournament. Yeah. But not working out quite yet. But that being said, Iowa State is the 10th ranked team in this conference. And I think Iowa State's a great team. Not great team. Good team. In a different conference, maybe have a shot to make the tournament without having to go through that tough schedule. What do you think?
Yeah, probably. They are back in KenPom top 100, so that's something.
Yeah, that is one thing they do have. They don't have a great KenPom ranking, but they did beat Texas Tech at home. They beat OU at home. Beat West Virginia at home.
They crushed them. They crushed all 3 of them. Remember, they beat Tech by 18 freaking points. We'll see about those guys. I think they're going to be okay. Hopefully they keep Steve Prohm, because I think he's actually a good coach. They just obviously
I don't think they're going to get rid of him unless they have the attempted to go back with
the mayor comes back
with the mayor. That's not going to happen. We had that discussion. Yeah. All right, let's move on to talk about West Virginia. We always seem to do this with West Virginia these past couple of years, where we get down and then we have to claw ourselves back up and we have this epic victory and then Bob Huggins walks off the court all pissed off. Like, this is not the first time this has happened. Like, I've seen this movie before several times for the past couple of years. I mean, they did a little statistic, like the past 3 times KU's been down at least 12 in the final X amount of minutes and come back. But this happened a couple of years ago too, where we had an epic comeback, I think 3 years ago. So, like, this isn't new. This is something, I think it was senior night a couple of years ago, where it was going to be the first loss on senior night in X amount of years. But let's just go over the highlights before we talk about Huggy Bear. Doak was great. He had 21 points. He went a 7-for-10 from the free throw line. 70%, Kevin. That is that's borderline LeGerald Vick numbers.
I think he's better than LeGerald Vick.
He's 7-for-8 from the field. We only turned it over 8 times, and against West Virginia, that is incredible. I think the story of the game, unfortunately, was Huggins after the game talking about the free throw disparity, and Huggins, you know, going crazy and getting all the national media attention and the box score warriors coming out and saying, like, oh, look at the box score, look at the discrepancy, without really having to watch the game. I don't think that we should get into it, the arguments for and against. We all know what happened. They played their prevent offense. They didn't do anything. They didn't drive. They never even drove it to the paint. We played aggressive. OU plays aggressively and fouls every time anyway. We know that. I don't think we should go over that. I want to talk about a comment you made, and I don't know if you made it to me directly or if it was on Twitter, but that the moment that opposing teams believe this narrative,
yes,
believe this mystique, they've lost.
Yep.
The moment that they think that Allen Fieldhouse is going to treat them poorly is the moment that you're not going to win. That's not how you win an Allen Fieldhouse, by thinking about things like that.
Exactly right. Yeah, and I don't remember that. It was a tweet. I don't think we've talked about it, but you nailed it. The point is that we probably do get a good whistle in Allen Fieldhouse, right? I think most people would say that we get a whistle. That's fine. The point, though, is that if you're an opposing team, and we've seen this. How many times have we seen it? We've seen it from K-State. We see it from
Bruce Weber every year.
Every year. Here's the tweet. I do love that opposing teams are afraid of the boogeyman whistle at Allen Fieldhouse. The second one questionable call comes along, everyone becomes unhinged. Here we go again. And then they're done. Meanwhile, if KU gets a bad whistle, Self is masterful at letting the refs know effectively. And that's one of the kind of the second point of that tweet is this is why Bill Self is better than Bruce Weber at coaching the game of basketball. Because he, and we've talked about this on this podcast, he is one of the best managers of people on this planet. I'm utterly convinced of that. And he understands how they tick. He understands everyone's nuances. He knows what buttons to push, and he knows exactly what he's doing when he needs to explode on a ref or smile at a ref or pull the ref aside. You see him do all the tricks, right? And he's so good at it. And meanwhile, you know, if KU gets a bad whistle, generally that whistle turns around. Generally. And inside that building, almost all the time, it somehow turns around. But the other side of the coin, if you're Huggins, if you're Bruce Weber, if you're Scott Drew, and you come in there and you just resign to the fact you're going to get a bad whistle. And not only that, your players are resigned to the fact that they're going to get a bad whistle. I mean, remember after the Baylor game, who was it? Was it Atchewell who said something like, yeah, we know that they're going to get a good, we wanted to make sure we were up by double digits because they're Kansas and they're going to get a good whistle if it's close. Like, that kid doesn't come up with that by himself. That is a Scott Drewism that has been tentacled down to his players, right? If a kid had said that from Bill Self's team, he would have taken him out back. Like, that is a terrible mentality to have. But man, that's a boogeyman whistle against Kansas, and I love it.
Right. I mean, you're not coaching your team if you're doing that. If you're worried about that, you're not going to win the game.
You're not going to win.
You're going to struggle. So, I mean, that's my thought on the whole deal. And so I'll let Huggins do his thing and get Pat Forty to write articles about it. I don't care. it all plays into our favor in the end.
You know what, though? Huggins ain't no dummy either. You just got your butt kicked again after having double-digit lead again, and you made terrible coaching mistakes again, not calling off that press that obviously makes your guys tired. That was a great little sleight of hand he pulled. No one was talking about that shit. No one was talking about how terrible his team has done terrible against KU. And not just KU, every team down the stretch, that when they get up big, they've dropped games. What, that Kentucky game? Are you kidding me? They're up 20 points. I mean, good on him, because he got that narrative switched around real quick. Nobody was talking about how West Virginia just crashes down the stretch because Bob is running this press like crazy at a time when it's obviously not working. We had 8 turnovers, Andrew. 8. That's it. In the entire game. So anyway, good
All right,
on
Kevin,
him.
Let's move on and talk about the OU game, or as you have dubbed it, the meat necklace game. I don't know what that's from. That, I think that was a college football reference. Didn't somebody make that? They put the meat necklace on us. Something like
that. That sounds right. Let's go with that.
But I want to take just a few moments, just a tiny, tiny bit to talk about Trae Young. And I know it's tough to hear because the entire country is talking about Trae Young.
Who is that again?
Especially on ESPN. Yes, the scraggly-haired guy from Oklahoma who missed all the shots.
That guy,
for the past February. I loved the bird thing, first of all. I did not realize that Trae Young was afraid of birds. He must have said that he was afraid of birds in one of his million one-on-one interviews with Dana O'Neill or Jeff Goodman or whoever's interviewing him at that moment. But good on KU fans in the student section for doing a lot with birds. Just a ton with birds. A lot of people dressed up as birds. A lot of pictures of birds. It's great.
It worked.
Great. It worked. But Trae Young, obviously, probably still front runner for Big 12 Player of the Year. Likely front runner still for National Player of the Year. I mean, the dude's still averaging 28 points a game and what, 9, 10 assists a game.
Yeah.
I mean, leading the country are pretty damn close. I don't know after last night. However, you know, in early in the year, obviously was amazing. Was making everything. People have adjusted. KU has adjusted. The rest of the country has adjusted. The Big 12, smart coaches, great coaches, coaches that have been around, coaches that have been to Final Fours, have adjusted. And OU went on a 6-game losing streak. I mean, that was their 6th loss last night. So, Kevin, this is my theory. Trae Young's early involvement, where he dominated the ball, took all the shots, wasn't helpful for OU when they actually had to have some adversity with the rest of the team. The rest of the team was not ready to play with Trae Young because they hadn't had to do it all year.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's staggering to see their numbers drop off. I mean, here's the amount of points they've scored during that losing streak. 74, 73, 80, 78, 66, 74. Like, some of those numbers, 78 and 80, like, that sounds like, you know, that's still quite a few. But you have to remember, this team is leading the NCAA in points scored. I mean, they were averaging 94 for a long time. I mean, a long time. If you look at their first, like, 15 games, there's only one that they weren't in the 90s. And most of them are in the freaking hundreds. So, I mean, they have obviously fallen off on offense. And as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, they don't play defense. Their offense is their defense.
Last night's game, I think, was one of the easiest times we've ever had scoring. And that's including the early games against whoever. What's the matter, you?
Yeah, and they gave up 89 points to Nebraska Omaha. Like, that should have been a sign the first game of the year. Now, they scored 108, but they still gave up 89. And so I don't know, Andrew. I think that they obviously have some stuff to work out. When you got good coaches and you got good teams that adjust, the blueprint gets out on you, you better figure out and readjust. And they have not. You actually saw Lon try. He started 2 new guys in the lineup and got down 10 to nothing and quickly changed that up. So, I don't know what they're going to do, but all of a sudden they're a freaking bubble team, man. Like,
they're going to make it. Left. They're going to make it.
I know. I agree. But look, here's their last 3 games. K-State at home, Baylor away, and Iowa State at home. They should absolutely win 2 of those 3. You'll forgive them if they lose at Baylor, but they should beat K-State at home, and they should crush Iowa State at home. If they don't, if they lose 2 out of 3, if they lose all 3, which it's like, that ain't crazy. I mean, they lost Iowa State already during this stretch. Then, man, I think they're in trouble. I mean, that would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That would have been 9 straight losses going into the Big 12 tournament. Like, that's problems.
That's problems. And
that's problems.
I don't think you can get into the tournament with 7 conference wins. I think you can probably get in with 8. But you can't get, I mean, that means you'd be 8-10. That's a stretch. And I think K-State made it in at 8-10 once. A handful of teams have made it in with 8-10, but you're not getting in with 7.
Yep.
Maybe this is the first time, just based on, you know, the week, if it's a weak bubble or not. I don't think it is. and man, the rest of the situation. But
you know Trae Young's getting in this tournament.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Like, come on. Like, he's gonna be in. But it's interesting.
It's interesting. But, you know, so right now, like, what seed, just not basing on anything else, like, what is this team, what does this OU team feel like seed-wise? What should they be?
I don't know, 8 or 9?
Yeah, probably right. I hate to see that team as a one seed.
Oh, two seed. God. Yeah, for real. Yeah, they'd be a scary 8 seed. That's like that. You know, it's like Kentucky being an 8 seed, which they, you know, they're probably in the same boat. I mean, maybe they've moved up a little bit, but... not much. They play tonight. They got a good game tonight. I'll have to see what the score is there. But I think that they're probably in. They're probably somewhere between a 7-10 seed, and that's going to be a scary 7-10. You know they're going to be the darling of brackets wherever they are. Oh, my God. You know how many freaking 7-seed Oklahoma teams are going to be projected to be in the Final Four? It's going to be staggering. And annoying.
Well, they've got to play some defense if they're going to do anything in the tournament. Let's move on from their players and talk about our players, because our players were incredible last night, specifically Devontae Graham. It seemed like he took this one a little personally.
Yeah. Maybe
trying to get some revenge from that earlier game against OU where he did not particularly play well. He had 23 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. And had the primary defensive duties against Trae Young when Trae Young went out for a rest. Devontae got to sit down for a rest as well. But Trae Young had 11 points. He went 3-for-13 with 5 turnovers. Although Trae only took 2 terrible three-pointers. Made one of them. One of them was garbage.
He should have shot more. He should have shot more. He should have shot more half-court shots.
I don't know what was going on. I mean, we did, you know, play very well defensively against him. Devontae had a great game. Everyone had a great game. We had 6 guys in double figures, including Silvio De Sousa.
Silvio!
So this reminded me a lot of a game that Thomas Robinson played as a freshman. I think it was against Radford or somebody like that, where Thomas Robinson had like 18 points, 10 rebounds, and like 16 minutes. And... they're like, who is this guy? This guy came out of nowhere. And before that, Thomas had played sparing minutes, didn't look comfortable, didn't look good, similar to Silvio De Sousa. But he came out here and just looked comfortable. He had one travel on the block. If he can stop traveling when he catches the ball.
That would have been another 2 points if he wouldn't have traveled there.
If he can stop traveling on the block, he can do a lot. He can do a lot. Mm-hmm. So he got that out of his system. Ended up with 13 minutes, 10 points, 6 boards. Went 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 3-for-3 from the field. You know, having a guy on the block get fouled and make free throws is a little new for us. It's kind of it felt good, Kevin. Kind of a luxury when we have Doak here. So it was a little different, but De Sousa comes in, and I think he just needed one good confidence building game. And I think that this is it. I'm not saying he's going to be Thomas Robinson this year, but you know, this is what you wanted to see. This is the progress you wanted to see from him, where he could play a role at the end of this Big 12 season.
We're going to need him at some point. We're going to need him at some point. You know, we will, he'll play minutes in the postseason. He will. Cause think of all assuming we make it to the Big 12 title game, there's 3 games, and you got to win 6 more in the NCAA tournament. If we play, you know, if we play 8 more games in the postseason or 7 more games, you know he's going to play minutes in them. So this is huge. Obviously, you saw, the coaches kept saying things like February 1st rolls around and DeSilvio is going to get it, you know, and then February 1st rolled around and he was still a disaster. But you know, it just took a little longer. Obviously, it's tough coming in as a 17, 18 year old, graduating early, trying to figure out Bill Self's system. But he said in the post game that the game's slowing down for him. You could absolutely see that. And you could certainly see the game that he could bring. I mean, God, if this is just a preview of what he could be even next year, I mean, man, like, think of the depth we're going to have on this team when he's coming off the bench, because he will be coming off the bench next year. I mean, that's a lot of, that's going to be a lot of fun. So that team's going to be super, super deep.
This isn't on your rundown, Kevin, but there's something else I want to talk about that happened at last night's game. And that is Allen Fieldhouse retired the jersey of none other than Sherron Collins, probably my favorite KU player of all time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's up there for me. He's definitely up there.
I love Sherron. I love Sherron. It was good to see him back. Well, he's always around. He's almost in every game. Like, so it's not, that's not fair. It's good to see him in the rafters. We see him everywhere.
But, he deserves it. He obviously deserves it.
Yeah, he was an All-American. He won a national title. Will go down in history. And so they put his jersey up into the rafters. And I was thinking, you know, they did Cole Aldrich on Saturday. I mean, we've got a lot of guys who were going up into the rafters. We'll probably have T-Rob go up soon. We'll have Frank go up soon. These are all-Americans. I was thinking, like, do we have too many up there? Like, no. All these guys made the qualification. All these guys are all-Americans.
I'm fine. I don't care about that. Like, I think they should just put 100 jerseys in the rafters. Like, I don't care.
Well, then it diminishes the other ones. Like, you want to
I get that. But, like, if they deserve it. I'm not saying.
But that's, you know, what I'm saying.
Connor Frankamp up there.
Like, it's not like we're throwing scrubs.
I agree. Like, if Connor Frankamp's jersey's up there, then we've probably gone too far. But, like, Sherron and Cole, like, those guys, they obviously deserve it. I mean, they were incredible. And you love that the guys that played 4 years, I mean, you love the fact that they, you know, they gave everything. It's like the Frank Masons, Devontae Grahams, the guys that came in and stayed 4 years and got the job done. You don't see that very often anymore. And so I love that those two are in the rafters. Absolutely deserve it. And I think Frank will be up there too, obviously. So, or he will at some point soon. So that'll be fun too.
Absolutely. Well, okay, Kevin, that's enough about the past. Let's talk about the future. And the future of this Big 12 season comes down to Saturday against Texas Tech. It's college game day. It'll be the second college game day in a row for us. This currently number 8 versus number 6. We're 8, they're 6. And Texas Tech, just to give you a little preview, if you didn't remember, destroyed us at home. Destroyed us at Allen Fieldhouse. Was not a fun game to watch.
No.
It was pretty brutal. Pretty dejecting. Pretty awful. But it's because they've got the number 3 most efficient defense per KenPom. They're very frustrating on the defensive end. And I think that was shown that other game. A couple of things of note is that Bill Self has never been swept by a Big 12 team. And so in order to keep that going, we have to beat Texas Tech. We've got to beat Oklahoma State the rest of the way. So there's a lot riding on it, more than just this specific game, this 14th straight Big 12 title, other things in play historically. Before the Baylor loss, Texas Tech had won 7 straight, and they haven't lost at home in Lubbock this year. They've got a game tomorrow. I don't know when you'll be listening to this at home, folks, but we got to root against the Texas Tech Red Raiders at Oklahoma State on Wednesday tomorrow. Something else to keep a lookout for is Keenan Evans is questionable with a toe. He's got a toe injury, Kevin. He's
turf toe. Day.
I don't know if it's turf toe. If it's turf toe, that's bad. If it's turf, it's toe, all that's...
Every toe injury is turf toe. That's just what it is.
Well, I don't think it's... I haven't said. But that could be a trap game. Although, friendly confines of Gallagher Ivor Arena has not necessarily been all that scary this year. It's actually been pretty weak and disappointing. How good they've actually kind of come around. That's but Kevin, true. Just kind of give me your general feelings about Texas Tech. Like, is this game a must win for Big 12 purposes, or are we looking to win 2 out of 3and hoping and praying?
Yeah, I mean, you have to approach this game as a must win. I think you have to feel really confident about getting a share of the title or winning it outright. You have to win this game. Now, do you not have a chance to get a share of the title if you lose this game? Of course you do. I mean, there's Texas Tech still got a couple tough games left beyond our game, including going to West Virginia. I mean, that's on February 26th. That's a game that KenPom, for instance, has them losing. So if for for if we're looking at KenPom, you know, he's got them going 3-1 in their last three games, including beating us. And then he's got us going 3-1, losing to them. So, you know, if you fast forward, can you lose this game and still have a chance? Of course you can. But this is a game, Andrew, like, think about our schedule this year, where you've had games and you look down, like after that Texas Tech game. Remember when we lost in Allen Fieldhouse, we're 1-1 in the league. You look around and Oklahoma's what 3-0 and Texas Tech is 3-0 and we're going to TCU. Remember, and TCU was still, they had won a boatload of games early. And you're looking at it and you're going, this feels like a must win. It doesn't even make sense that it was a must win, but you'd have fallen back two games in the conference standings. And what do? We go to TCU and we get the win, right? And then you fast forward a little bit to, to after losing that Baylor game, and you look down at your schedule and you go, we got at Iowa State, and then we got West Virginia and Oklahoma coming to our house. These are now automatically must wins. And what do, Andrew? We go out and win all three of them. It feels to me like this game is like vintage Bill Self figures out a way to get a win. And I'm usually not like rosy, you know, crimson and blue glasses type of guy on these things. But for some reason, and I'll probably eat my words, I actually think we win this game. It just feels like one of those Bill Self games that he's been there way more than Texas Tech has, and our guys have been there way more than Texas Tech has, and we're clicking right now. It just feels like it sets up for us. But, you know, again, I'm sure I'm going to eat my words, but it just, for some reason, it feels that way. What do you think?
Lot going for us. We've got 5 days to get ready. That's
right.
Beneficial. Whereas Texas Tech will only have a couple. You know, they'll probably get home Thursday or Wednesday night. And so we've got the whole week to get ready for them. And I think Bill's got them to a spot where they're playing the way he wants them to play. And I think that was that we've seen that in the past couple weeks since the Baylor game. He's definitely got the guys playing the way he wants them to play. And I think that you can do a lot with that. You don't have to focus on fixing little things. You can really focus on what we need to do to beat Texas Tech. And we've seen that before. Like, the team hits a stride. The team hits a point in the season where it kind of runs itself. And then you can kind of get to a point where you can focus solely on the team. And this is just going back from past experience. So I totally agree too. It's just that feeling that we've been in this situation before. We know we have to go get this win. We know what it takes, and we take advantage of it. Going to Lubbock has always been hard, even when Texas Tech
was a good point.
Not great. So just because it's in Lubbock and blah, 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 we've always struggled there. And so this will take a lot. This will take a game like we saw on Monday, except against a team who's really good at defense versus
really good
that didn't play defense at all.
Yeah, they are really, really, really good at defense. I mean, they are 12th in steals, 12th in 3-point percentage defense, 12th in 2-point percentage defense. Sometimes that 3-point percentage defense number is misleading, but they're 12th in both of them. 7th in effective field goal percentage defense, 5th in turnover percentage defense, and 3rd overall in adjusted efficiency. I mean, that every single number pops on defense for them. I mean, they are really, really good. And the other thing that jumped out at me, I didn't realize this. You know, you kind of sometimes you watch KenPom's player of the year rankings. And sometimes occasionally you look down and see someone that's got a big number next to him, which means they're in the top 5 or 10 in KenPom's rankings for player of the year. Keenan Evans is number 5.
Yeah. And deserves,
like, not a guy that you would think of, though, necessarily. I mean, he's all Big 12. I think most people agree with that, but you don't hear people talking about him as All-American status. And you know, if it was up to KenPom, he'd be on the first team right now. And so that just kind of goes to show how important he is to that team. He's obviously, you know, when they can't score, and sometimes they can't score, he's the guy that can. And so they obviously need him. We'll see if he's back for Oklahoma State. They said he's day-to-day. I mean, he might be a little ginger against that Oklahoma State game, but you know he'll be back 100% for KU, right?
Well, he'll be back. He's not missing that game. Who knows what his physical status. I mean, I think the one thing that I've heard Texas Tech fans talking about is they're not getting a lot of information. Like, they haven't come out and said, this is the situation. We expect this. It's just very vague because initially it was an ankle, and then it was a toe. And so it's a very, they're very skeptical about what the whole thing is because they don't know a lot of information. And so I don't know, but he's going to play on Saturday and he's going to play well.
Like we, you know how many times
you have to just count on that.
You know how many times an opposing team has scored 80 points against Texas Tech this year?
Probably zero.
Zero. Zero times someone has scored 80 points. How about that? Guess how many teams have scored 75 points against them?
Probably one or two.
Let me make sure I'm telling you right. One. That was 78 points. That was Oklahoma in an 88-78 win for Texas Tech a game ago. That was that Oklahoma game at home. 78 points is the most scored. The most scored against Texas Tech this year. Guess how many times they've let someone score 70 points?
Three.
Multiple times. I mean, that's, 70. Come on. That's a lot. But one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight times all year out of 28 games. Eight times. Someone,
yeah,
70
points. They don't
play
points. Their game. Yeah, they don't play their game in the 70s and 80s. They play it in the 50s and 60s.
It's and crazy, that, though. I mean, those are bonkers. That's Virginia numbers.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see that. I mean, that comes down to the whole season, I think. If we want to win it outright, we definitely need to win this game. And then if you don't win it, then it's out of your control. And yep. You don't ever want it to be out of your control. So it all comes down to Saturday. I think this team's ready to play. I think this team's ready to do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I go back to a question I got from our pal Carrington Harrison on Twitter. Asked me like 2 months ago. Said this was like peak Trae Young hype, like right when he came on, everyone figured out who he was. He was doing stuff that no one had ever seen before from a freshman. And he said, rest of the season, do you want Devontae Graham or Trae Young on your team? And he asked me specifically, he tweeted directly to me. He didn't even put it on Twitter, he said it directly to me. And I said, I think I'll take Devontae Graham for the Big 12 season, but I might take Trae Young for the NCAA tournament. And that was my response then, when he was far and away the best player in college basketball at the time. And the reason I said that was I want the guy who's been through the grind before, who knows how to win a Big 12 regular season title as my guy. But once you get into the NCAA tournament, sometimes hero ball is all you need. And so that was my reasoning. And
now you change your mind on that.
Revisiting that now though, you're exactly. So that was my next point. Revisiting that now, I'm going to ask him the same question. Who would you rather have and see what he says, because makes you wonder, man, makes you wonder. I think I keep Devontae. You got to ride with your guy, and Devontae's been absolutely awesome this year. So anyway, let's move on from there, Andrew. I want to talk about the NCAA tournament. You ever heard of that?
The
basketball.
Is that
basketball
the tournament. Is that the one with the race cars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one. No, I'm talking about the one that CBS and Turner Sports buys for $1 billion every year.
Okay.
That one. That
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that
yeah.
one. Okay.
So for the first time ever, I haven't seen this. I went on to NCAA.org. And found the team sheets. And you hear people talk about the quadrants, you know, quadrant one, quadrant two wins. And this is what the selection committee is looking at. And after the selection committee debuted its top 16 seeds top 16 teams and the 1 through 4 seeds and showed Kansas as a 1 seed, got a few people a little riled up about that. I wanted to see kind of what they were looking at. And so I went out, and you can actually find these. It ranks them by RPI. But Kansas is 6th in the RPI, so we're the 6th team listed. And it shows the quadrant one, quadrant two wins. We're 9-4 in quadrant one, and we're 8-1 in quadrant two. And those two quadrant two, our two most recent quadrant two wins are West Virginia at home and Oklahoma at home, because now they've dropped out of the top 30 RPI. So there's a chance those two teams get back in. We're 11-4 in quadrant one. We still have the most quadrant one wins of anybody right now, Andrew, at nine quadrant one wins. So I say all this to say it's interesting when you go look at this and you see teams like Stanford and Toledo and South Dakota State as our quadrant two wins. and you look at Larry Keating and you say, Larry, like, good on you scheduling these types of teams. We beat South Dakota State by 34 points. We beat Toledo by 38 points at home. But you look at it in NCAA tournament time, and those are quadrant two wins, and those matter. Isn't that crazy?
Right, and then this neutral against Syracuse, quadrant one.
Quadrant one.
So, yeah, the scheduling does matter. Yeah. I think that there was a lot of criticism earlier in the season about KU's easy scheduling, and I think that that has proven out not to be the case. I think that this has worked out in our favor for exactly what we wanted to be. Now, we didn't win those games. We didn't beat Arizona State. We didn't beat Washington, but they ended up being in the spot we thought they would be in order to get us a good resume.
That's a quadrant one and a quadrant two loss. That doesn't look that bad. Now, the Oklahoma State loss looks bad, but other than that.
Pretty terrible. But I mean, otherwise, when you do look at these things, it's a pretty good exercise in kind of not getting that grass is always greener, the world is falling, the sky is falling mentality. Because you do see that you've got the most quadrant one wins. And probably if we wouldn't have beaten West Virginia or Oklahoma, they probably wouldn't have dropped in the RPI. So, like, if they move back up, you've got the most by far.
Yep.
And that's why we're getting considerations for one seed or two seed. When, several weeks ago, that didn't even seem possible. This seemed out of the realm of anything that could possibly happen. But, you know, in terms of quality wins, wins away, especially away, and at home against good teams, this is working out quite well for us. So I'm going to keep an eye on this as the season goes on, and when they make the selections, we'll see if this comes into play. I'm sure it will, because this is what they're looking at, but it'll be an interesting March with, you know, kind of how we were feeling a couple weeks ago to how it's kind of shaken out with the math and with the wins here.
I was kind of laughing that, you know, Lenardi comes on and says, Kansas is a one seed after we beat West Virginia. My wife was like, did he just say that KU's a one seed right now? And, you know, she casually watches KU basketball. And I was like, yeah, that's what he said. And she's like, we're not a one seed. And I think there's a lot of people out there that kind of have that exact same mentality. Like, wait a minute, we're not a one seed. But then you look at this damn little sheet of paper, the team sheets on NCAA.org/solutions/RPI/stats, and you see the KU has got a one seed resume. It's kind of crazy.
All right, Kevin, let's close this bad boy out with some questions. I'm going to ask you one, and then I've got a couple here that I'm going to answer. First one here, this is from Ben Bradley, famous newspaper editor from the Washington Times. The question is, I think that's him. I think that's him. I heard he's a KU fan, right?
Okay.
No, Ben Bradley died years ago, Kevin. Will KU turn out to be clean as a whistle, partially screwed, or totally screwed with that FBI thing? So this guy is obviously interested in cover-up, so obviously this is the Washington Post editor.
Now we know. I'm going to go with partially screwed. I think that's the middle ground to play here. I know for a fact that KU is not clean as a whistle. So
you know for a fact, or you know from like a, well, you know. Yeah.
I know for a fact KU is not clean as a whistle. Like, that is 100% an accurate statement that we are not clean as a whistle. Like, that is, we are not running our program like, who's super clean? Like Tubby down in Memphis right now. Tubby's running a clean program and see what that's looking like in Memphis. You can't do that in Memphis. But anyway, so I would say that we are not clean as a whistle. I hope to God we're not totally screwed, But God, did you see the reports from like Yahoo on this thing this week?
Yeah, they're trying to get people to flip. They're trying to get our coaches spooked so they can flip because their evidence isn't strong. That's what this is.
You think so?
Like, because otherwise they wouldn't leak. You don't leak on something like that. I'm not a federal prosecutor.
I agree. It's obviously a leak, you know, and that's. I don't know. It at the same time, when you have the records of the people that they've got, like, is it not conceivable that they've got something on 30 or 35 teams, good teams, like teams with pros?
Right.
Like, that's very possible. That would not shock me at all.
I'll tell you this. I'm not too worried about it.
Woo!
I'm really
not. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I'm not losing sleep over it. I think that something will come out with this agent they got that was paying guys, but I don't think I'm not too worried about it.
I hope you're right. I actually had lunch with a guy from Mizzou the other day, Mizzou fan, and we were talking about. He was like, "Man, as a Mizzou fan, I can just tell you we're already screwed by this thing." I was like, "Why do you say that?" And he's like, "Well, we get screwed on everything when it comes to this kind of stuff, like totally defeatist mentality." I was like, "You know what? You guys are probably going to escape this thing because you had Kim Anderson as your coach when all this stuff was going down. And he was recruiting and got the worst players out there. And all of a sudden, you know, you all ran him off. And now you probably ended up clean in the whole deal because of that 2-year window where they were looking at this stuff. But
anyway, well, I don't know if it's a 2-year window. And I don't know if the Michael Porter thing was all that clean either. But you can say that about anybody. We really don't know anything. And so I'm not worried about it.
All right. Here's my next question. This is from Karen White on Twitter. Any marriage advice to reduce conflict when a KU fan is married to a UNC fan? And then she noted, Andrew, I didn't write it here, that she knows Andrew is married to an Iowa State grad. So maybe you might have some insight.
Yeah, I do. I do have some
marriage advice.
So tell the other person that you do root for their team, watch their team, pretend to root for their team, but really don't.
Okay. All right. There it is.
Really don't.
Yeah.
Just pretend and like, oh, but and then get to know the other team, know the other players. And like I do anyway. And then, you know, occasionally like you can root for that team and have it be like a legitimate rooting, but for the most part, if it's now KU, UNC has a different connection because you can root for Roy. Like I can root for Roy.
Yeah. UNC
fan root for KU? Like you have no reason to. So it's a little different. But I'll just say, like, in your heart of hearts, there's nothing wrong with rooting against that team really hard. But don't be overly vocal about it.
Yeah, if you're like, man, they should really be playing Seventh Woods more or something like that. You might be taking it overboard. But if you can casually know a couple of their players, and I think you're in a good spot because it's easy to cheer for Roy. Okay, this is from the Fog. That guy, you know, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He said, if you had to feed the other 9 Big 12 coaches to actual lions one by one, what would the order be? And then. So Fog has a lot of followers, quite a few. I don't know how many, but a bunch. And so, you know, when you tweet to somebody, anyone who's following you and that person
can see the
okay. Well, some people don't, asshole. So let me just explain it. and so I immediately got a bunch of responses from people because they saw that tweet. So there's a bunch of them out there. In fact, people gave like full orders. I'm not sure I feel comfortable with this question, answering this question, feeding coaches to lions, but I figured I'd see if you feel comfortable enough to go ahead and give me an order.
And like a full order?
Oh, well, yeah, but I think that's what he said. Okay, top three.
Shaka Smart. Chris Beard.
Really?
Yeah, he's good.
That seems a little early.
Well, I don't want him to start a dynasty.
I don't think he's going to start a dynasty.
This is what I'm thinking. This is why I'm okay. I get to pick.
Hey, and, whatever.
Who knows?
Come on. There's two answers here. All right. See, I would have gone.
You were
going to
say Scott Drew and Bruce Weber. I'm not doing that. I like having them around.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. All right, I'll allow that. Like I said, I don't feel comfortable feeding coaches to Lions, so we'll go with your answer. And then I really liked this question. This is from Keith Yackle. Really like his name, too. If you could be guaranteed KU wins 10 more games this season, but not told which ones, do you take it?
See, I love
the math here.
I love these do you take it questions. Do you
take it? Absolutely.
If you could get X, would you take it?
Well, right before you answer this, would you take 3-1 to close this season?
No.
If you didn't know which one?
We have three games left.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Would you take 2-1?
No.
No?
No.
No. All right. Okay, so 10 games. Do the math. You've got
three games left in the season.
Three games left.
You've got three games left in the Big 12 tournament, theoretically.
There's six, and then six in the turn. So it's 12 games.
Oh. So then you're starting to get greedy. So I'm like, you know what? Like, how far can this team go?
Can we run the table? I think I take it.
You think you take it?
I think I take it.
I don't think we win the Big 12 tournament. So maybe.
So there's one. And then maybe. So and then you do the math. Like, okay. You'd have to win several games in the tournament. If you're thinking we don't win the Big 12 tournament, like that's potentially a Final Four team. I'd take it. I take it. Give it to me.
Okay. I don't think I'd take it.
Ooh, you're crazy. All right. Thank you for the Twitter questions.
Deal.
Those were
no deal, banker. No deal. Is that
those
are thing, right? That's the thing. Howie Mandel.
Deal or no deal?
I didn't ever watch the show. I played the
slot
machine.
I knew that's where you're going with that. All right. Thank you for the Twitter questions, Ben, Karen, the Fogga, and Keith Yackle. Good stuff. There were a bunch of them out there. That's the ones we got to. Andrew, I want to close with a discussion about LinkedIn.
Yeah. So, I'll just say this. Do the normal things. Like, every podcast asks you to rate and review us. We haven't got a rating or review in a while. So somebody go out there, say, like, this is a great podcast. I listen to it every week. These guys are amazing. I love this show because we want to hear these things to stroke our egos or just to, you know, help us out a little bit. So do that. Follow us on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Kevin's Jayhawk Talk. I'm
Sherlock Hoops.
You know, great. These are all the things. But we're going to tell you to do something now that no one else tells you to do. And that's something that's blowing up, Kevin. And that's follow us on LinkedIn. Because we're professionals now. We're grown-ups. This is where grown-ups hang out, is LinkedIn. We go to networking events, and we connect with each other on LinkedIn.
Would you like to grab a cup of coffee?
We've got the most baller LinkedIn page imaginable.
Okay, some of the people that are on our LinkedIn connections, like just list off a couple of names to get the people riled up. Why you would want to be part of this group?
You want to join this club? This is the hottest club going on. All right, you join the likes of Todd Reising, Dane Crist.
Yes, he's a financial
Tobin
advisor.
Tobin Opurum.
Yeah, all right. There's a bunch of other people.
That's all I can really remember. That's good, though.
That's really good.
It's mostly football players, actually.
Yeah. So the funny part is we created this page. I think I created it, and then I haven't done anything with it since, except I have the jayhawktalk@gmail.com email address that's tied to this LinkedIn page. So occasionally, you know, it's on my phone. I check my Jayhawk Talk email, and every freaking day, some random person that you have probably gone out and tried to connect with keeps connecting with us. And I looked at him like, oh, look, Tobin Opurum just connected with the podcast.
Keon Stowers is big on LinkedIn.
Is he?
Banks Floodman, huge on LinkedIn.
So, yeah. So I literally, like, every day I look down, I'm like, huh, look at there. There's, you know, whatever. Jesse Newell just connected with LinkedIn. And I don't know. I assume that you are reaching out to these people. Do you see them?
I'm actually close personal friends with all of them now.
Is that it? Okay. Tom Keegan, CJ Moore, friend of the podcast, CJ Moore. Yeah. So there you go. Just like Brandon McAnderson.
See, BMAC. Oh, BMAC was my dude.
Anyway, so if you want to be a part of this crew, you should go out and connect with Jayhawk Talks podcast. There you go. Good work, Andrew. I give you all the credit here. I've done nothing other than I created the thing, and then you just started adding KU football players.
It's none a of
the KU basketball players are on freaking LinkedIn.
The Jayhawk Talk LinkedIn page is a lifestyle, and you just got to choose to live that life. So I'm inviting everyone
Terry
to connect
Neuter.
With us on LinkedIn.
Terry Neuter.
Terry Neuter. Yeah, there's yes. This is incredible. This is an incredible cast Neuter of heroes here.
What? He's got. Terry Neuter had the best walk-on smile out there. When he made a three and he would go back, oh, Terry Neuter just warmed hearts. All right, Andrew, let's get out of here. You already did all the, follow us and rate us and stuff, so we don't have to do any of that. But I'll say this, Andrew, we need all the help we can get for this Big 12 tournament run or Big 12 title run. I am so excited for this game on Saturday. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win.
Yep, we're going to win.
Okay, good. We need everyone else thinking the same thing. It's very well proven that if you think positive thoughts, they will happen. Just like, and I can also say that if you add us on LinkedIn, it will also help us in the efforts to beat Texas Tech on Saturday. So do that, and until next week, rock chalk. And if you love it, then I love it, because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell him every time we on the court. I tried to tell him that we never coming up short. I tried to tell him that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell him that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it.